Today, I'm going to speak about overcoming fear. I'm sure just like myself, all of us will face at one point or another a certain event or a certain situation that you feel that fear overtakes you. Sometimes it could be a fear of uncertainty. Sometimes it could be a fear of a task that is so daunting that you cannot help but feel afraid. When I was preparing this message about courage and fear, this event that happened in my life, flashback, and I recall this incident maybe about 5 years ago. My family and I, we were in Perhentian Island, and at that time, I think my eldest daughter, she's probably about 7, and my son is probably 4.5, 5, and Faith is probably less than 2 years old. We had a retreat over there, and we had some program, but one of the afternoon was a free and easy time, and we decided as a family to take a jungle trail, about 30 to 35 minutes hike to the fishing village. And we decided to do that, okay? So my wife carries Faith on the back, the baby carrier, and I took the two kids, and we went on. But towards the end of the trail, as we were about to reach the fishing village, we could hear the storms were coming from afar. We could hear thunder. We could see the sky was getting a little bit dark. And our plan was originally walk half an hour, 35 minutes to the fishing village and get a boatman to send us back to our resort. Through the boat is just 15 minutes boat ride, so it's very easy. So when we reached the fishing village, the sky was already dark, the wind was blowing, it hasn't rained yet, but we found out that it's another 10 minutes walk to the jetty where the boats are. So we made our way to the boat, and this time the rain started coming, and when we reached there, no boatman wanted to take us back because they say that the sea is just too dangerous, the sea is just too choppy, the wind was too strong, and by this time the storm was full blown. Okay, we could hear thunder. It was 5:30, but it felt like 8-something at night already. There was lightning, there was heavy rain, and we were stuck. Okay, and I'm thinking to myself, oh no, what do we do? And we're going to be stuck here all night. And later on, it's going to be dark, and there's no way we're going to walk back pitch black at night. This is a fishing village. There's no place to stay, and nowhere the boat is going to take us. So we took the chance and said, we got to just walk back 30, 40 minutes in the midst of rain, in the midst of lightning, in the midst of the jungle, in the midst of the risk of falling branches. I was afraid. I was so fearful. We were by now soaked to our very socks, our very shoes, and I think Faith was just enjoying herself. Holding onto her mother's bag, it's just raining. I think she's just enjoying herself. But I was fearful, okay? So as we made our way back to our resort, so we were just walking very fast, praying and hoping that there was no falling branches, praying that the lightning would not strike. So we were walking halfway through. My daughter was walking in front because it was just a one-person trail. I'm second, my son third, and then my wife and the baby was the last. So suddenly, my daughter froze and she stopped. And I said, what happened? And I looked forward, there was a Komodo dragon, monitor lizard or Komodo dragon. I don't know what it is. It feels like a Godzilla to me, okay? But it was blocking our road. So what do you do? I was like, oh my goodness. So I'm thinking to myself, do they attack you? Or if I throw stone, would they just jump on you? I wish I have not watched so many movies, but I'm thinking, what should we do? And obviously my daughter and my son, they were almost in the verge of tears, and I was afraid. And what do we do? It's raining, it's lightning. And we decided to walk because it was like walking across the road. So we were just waiting for a while, and finally, after a few minutes, it crosses the road, and on we go again, okay? So we walk, and we walk, and finally we reach our resort, okay? But boy, was I fearful. Boy, was I afraid. Even though that was a situation of fear, but I'm sure fear is very real in our lives. Some of you may be going through a situation whereby it's beyond your control. Whether it's a medical report, whether it's a family situation, and you are so fearful because it's so beyond your control. And you don't know what's on the other side. You don't know what's going to happen. And fear just grips you. But the good news, I want you to know that we can be strong and courageous because God is with us. We can be strong and courageous not because of our own self-will, not because of our own motivational thinking, not because that we wake up in the morning and we look to the mirror and say, you are a brave man. No, we can be strong and courageous because God is with us. I'd like to walk a portion of scripture with you. This is a time whereby in the Old Testament, the Israel was a nation of slaves in Egypt, and God has used a person by the name of Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt onto a promised land whereby they can rebuild as a new nation. But on the way there, they had to go through a desert place, and where they eventually spent 40 over years while going into the promised land. And Moses, the leader, knew that God told him that he will not be the one leading the people into the promised land, but there will be Joshua and a new generation that God will raise up to go into the promised land. This is Moses telling Joshua what God has told Moses. So Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, he says, be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as inheritance. And he continues, this is the Lord himself goes before you. The Lord himself goes before, not his angels. God is not sending his representatives, but God himself will go before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You know, sometimes when we go through difficult challenges in life, who is with us matters. I'm sure for my three children there, when we go through the storm in the jungle trail, yes, they were afraid, but they were okay because they knew that daddy and mommy was with them. Knowing who is with you makes a whole big difference. And Joshua, this young leader who received this word, obviously he has many questions, obviously he has many doubts, but later on as you read in the book of Joshua, when Moses died, it is Joshua's turn now. I could imagine Joshua probably felt alone. He probably felt that, oh, Moses, my spiritual leader, my leader that I looked up to, my spiritual father, my boss, now he's no longer here. And everyone now looked to Joshua. The whole nation of Israel, estimated about 1 million people, look to Joshua for leadership. Can you imagine how scary that task is? Leading a whole nation through the desert to cross that river into a new land and potentially facing and fighting enemies waiting for them. Scarier than a Komodo dragon, I'm sure. But that is the task of Joshua. If you read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 8, God is reminding Joshua, you know what? Moses is dead, and I'm going to give you this land that I swore to your forefathers. Go, and I will be with you. I've promised you this land. And verse 9, God told Joshua specifically, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Do you know why God has to keep telling Joshua, do not be afraid? Because Joshua is afraid, right? You have to tell someone who is afraid, don't be afraid. Otherwise, you would not need to tell the person. So obviously, Joshua is fearful. He is afraid. But God is saying that, don't be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for I, the Lord, thy God, will be with you wherever you go. If you are Joshua, receiving that word, whether or not it makes sense, will depend on your experience with God previously. If Joshua has not experienced God's presence, it will be something very new to him. But because Joshua has practiced and have experienced God's presence and His faithfulness, this word comes as an encouragement and as a strength to him. So the question for all of us here is this. Do you know, are you familiar with, have you been practicing God's presence with you? Because courage is not the absence of fear, but it is really mastery over it. And we master over fear, not by our own self-will, but it's really knowing that God is with us. Do you know that God is with you? Is it something that sounds like something strange and sounded like something new to you? I want to encourage you, if you have not practiced the presence of God, you can start today. Okay, our God is a God that wants to reveal Himself to you. He is not a God that plays hide and seek, not wanting to be found, but He is a God who wants to reveal Himself to you. Let me make a couple of statements on God's presence, and then we'll look at the life of Joshua again. You see, when God first created Adam and Eve, when first God created the Garden of Eden, the paradise, it was to reflect an intimacy between God and His creation, something which we may not fully experience until one day we are in heaven with God. God spoke to Adam face to face. God spoke to Eve face to face. And the Bible says that they walk in the cool of the garden together with God. For some of you who likes to run in the morning, you will know that feeling, that running in that cool air. So it talks about how Adam and Eve had that intimacy with God and His presence in the cool of the garden. and to take walks with God. And that's the picture. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent, but God is also here. Sometimes we ask the question, if God is everywhere, why can't I feel Him? Because although God is everywhere, God also wants to be here. Although God is omnipresent, but He also wants to manifest His presence in a personal way to you and I. That is the original intention of God. And man's mission and God's presence goes hand in hand. When God told Adam and Eve to take dominion of the world, to take care of the world, right? To rule over the world. As they expand the Garden of Eden, God's presence expands and goes hand in hand with them. So man's purpose and God's presence goes hand in hand, but something happened as we know it. Sin came in and sin corrupts everything, including man's relationship with God's presence. Because of sin, we are distanced away from God. We are distanced away from His presence and we no longer seek Him. We are no longer aware of His presence. And that's the reality. But God chose to restore that intimacy. God chose to restore His presence to us. And His ultimate expression of His love and the ultimate expression of God's restoration of His presence to us is really through Jesus Christ, which is known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. So through Jesus, once again, when you receive Jesus into your heart, Hebrews, the New Testament, talks about how the curtain, the veil is open, and that God has made right. God has forgave our sin so that we can now have that intimacy again, to reunite it again with this holy God. And we are then now aware of His presence, and now His presence, the Holy Spirit, lives in us, and He wants to work through us. So that is where we are today. God's presence is in us, and He wants to work through us. Personally and corporately together as a church. That's why we come together to worship, to pray. Why? Because we are then carriers of God's presence. But sometimes we put God's presence in a lid. Okay, we are not aware and we allow stress and pressure and distraction to just overcome us. Study shows that we pick up our smartphone every 4.3 minutes once, which means that since I started speaking, some of you have picked up your smartphone more than 5 times. But we live in a world whereby we are just so distracted. Do you agree with me? Okay, we are just so distracted by so many things. And our smartphone, as great as it is, a technology, but it is also the greatest distraction and the greatest killer of any relationships at home and especially our relationship with God. So we have shortchange ourselves. You know, at work, sometimes we have schedules, we have our outlook, and then we will block meetings, 9 to 10, meeting with finance, and 10 to 11, meeting with client, 11 to 11:30, meeting with this person and that person. We will have schedules, but sometimes we don't have that scheduling that we can just focus on what God has to say to us. We have shortchanged God's presence. So knowing all that, let's go back to the life of Joshua. Now he's faced with this task. Yes, he's afraid. But because he has practiced God's presence in his life, he knew what it means when God told him, I'm with you. Okay, let's look at his life when he was still with Moses. Practicing God's presence. 4 simple steps, looking at the lives of Joshua. This is when Joshua was still following Moses, when Joshua was younger. Moses used to take a tent and pitch outside the camp, some distance away, and call it the tent of meeting. Okay, so this is not meeting with his friend, this is meeting with God. And in those days, because the presence of God is so sacred, they had to cleanse themselves, they have to make sure that they are all well before they could meet with God. Anyone inquiring of the Lord will go to this tent of meeting outside the camp. So today, in a sense, because of what Jesus has done for us, we don't need to come to a particular place to meet with God. Yes, we come here on a Sunday morning to worship God together, to fellowship together, to declare that God is Lord over this church together. But you can really experience and encounter God's presence anywhere at all, provided you set aside that focus, that devotion, that spirit and heart to say to God, okay, this hour, this 15 minutes, I'm just going to meet you. I'm just going to hear you. I'm just going to talk to you without distraction. Okay, let's move on. Now, wherever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance, watching him enter the tent. As Moses went to the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. So in those days, the presence of God manifests itself through a pillar of cloud as God led them through the wilderness into the promised land. So the presence of God is really the pillar of cloud. So when Moses go to that tent, the pillar of cloud will come down to that tent and God will speak to Moses. And the people around, they will stay at a distance and they will watch. And as they watch, this is what they do. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud, which is the presence of God, standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped because God is here. Just like just now what we did when we come to church. The reason why we come to church is not so that we can be entertained with music. The reason why we come to church so that we can then worship God together. That our worship time is not an icebreaker to the word time, but it is part of our worship unto God. So they stood and they worshiped together, each at the entrance to the tent. The Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Moses will return to the camp. Watch this, okay? His young aide, Joshua, did not leave the tent. So Joshua, week in, week out, he has been practicing being familiar with the presence of God all these years. While Moses, his life group leader, his spiritual mentor, his spiritual father, do his thing, Joshua has been watching and Joshua has been connected and he is familiar with the presence of God. He did not leave the tent. He wanted so much to stay in the presence of God that he chose to be there. And that's what he did. And Moses said to the Lord, and this part here is Moses' private conversation with the Lord. It is like Moses' private WhatsApp chat. What I'm trying to say is that when you draw near to God, when you worship God, you can have private conversation with the Lord. You can pour out to God your heart. You can pour out to God your emotion. But sometimes we want to go to this quickly. We want to go down to our shopping list quickly. When we come to God, it means that God, number one, could you open this door in my business? Number two, Lord, can you help me with this thing? Number three, can you open door with my relatives because of this, this, this? Immediately, we would like to go to the shopping list. But we forgot to draw near to God. We forgot to worship God. Thank God before coming to that private conversation with the Lord. You know, drawing near to God like what Moses did. I love coffee. Some of you may love tea. I don't know. But I think that our church serves good coffee. I like having coffee with someone and good coffee with someone and sitting down with someone without distraction, putting our phone aside and just ask the person, look the person in the eye and just ask, how are you doing? How are you feeling recently? How's your kids doing? How's your mom? How's your job? What's in your heart? What's your greatest challenge these days? And just have that deep, meaningful conversation. Potentially, sometimes we lose the art of having that conversation with one another, what more, with God. And that's what we need to then reestablish, the art of drawing near to God, simply because of who God is. That we want to seek His face, not just His hands. We want to seek Him for who He is and not just for what He can do for us. And this is what Moses, after seeking Him, after worshiping Him, and Moses then talked to Him. And Moses said to the Lord, and this is a private conversation, you have been telling me, paraphrase, remember last time you said this. Okay, just like my kids, they will remind me, Daddy, you last time mentioned that I can play with iPad when you're back. So Moses is reminding God, God, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. So basically, Moses is telling God, God, we are here in the wilderness. We have come a long way out of Egypt from slavery, but there is still a long way to go. Just remember, you tell me, Lord, lead your people. Remember, I was minding my own business in Egypt. I was doing okay and I was comfortable and you plucked me out and you asked me to lead. Remember those times? Just remember, Lord, these are not my people. These are your people. So Moses had that heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord. And what Moses is asking is, God, you will continue to lead me as we lead the people forward. And the Lord replied Moses. He says, yes, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You know, sometimes we feel stress, or we feel that we have to strive, we feel that we have to take matters in our own hands, because we forget that God is with us. You can be facing stress and pressure and lots of things to do, but if you know who is with you, you will be at rest. You will have peace. You will have that sense of grace that someone who is God, the creator of the universe, is carrying you through this storm. And that is what God told Moses. Yes, Moses, I know you're in the middle of the wilderness. Yes, I know there is so many needs in the nation of Israel. Yes, I know people are murmuring, people are complaining. There may not be enough food. People are not sure what's next. But Moses, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest in your soul. And this kind of rest is true rest. It is not the kind of rest that we have when we sleep 15 hours a day. Okay, I know some of you do, okay? Yes, there is a kind of rest, but this rest goes beyond that. It is rest in our soul. And then Moses said to him, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us there. So Moses is saying that if you are not going with us, then I'm not going. Moses knew the power of having God's presence with you. Obviously, God's presence went with them. Joshua brought the people into the promised land. So what did Joshua do? Number one, draw near to God. After what God has done for us, after what Christ has done for us on the cross, when He paved open the way, God is accessible. But the question is, are we too busy to draw near to God? Do you set aside a time, a tenth of meetings, so to speak, in a day, whether 10, 15 minutes when you drive? I don't know. Some of you, maybe you have scheduled so many meetings that maybe you should just schedule a meeting with God, so that if it's not scheduled, it won't be done, right? Because if you're so busy, what is not scheduled, it won't happen. But what is scheduled, it will happen. So I'd like to encourage you, you could schedule a daily retreat, a daily slot and a weekly retreat, just to draw near to God, just to sit down with God, to have coffee and ask, how are you? And allow God to ask you back, how are you? How is your soul? How is your spirit? How is your heart? Has it got a little bit hardened? Has it got a little bit prideful? Has it got a little bit distant? I don't know. But it is about drawing near to God and just enjoying that coffee with God. Just enjoying that relationship. Number two, worship Him. There's student worship. You can worship God not just on a Sunday. You can worship God anywhere you are. Okay, while you're driving, you turn on that worship song, and as you drive, you worship. Just don't close your eyes, okay? So you can worship at home. You can worship while doing things. But just have that time of just worshiping Him, thanking Him, declaring His goodness and His greatness. And sometimes when we declare and we worship Him, it takes our eyes off our issue as we worship Him and we turn our eyes upon Jesus, upon God. And suddenly our issues and problems seem so small and far away. They all stood and worshiped. I'd like to encourage you, draw near to God, worship Him. And number three, pray to Him. This is where you can talk to Him. You can pour out your heart. You can pour out your emotion. You can ask Him. You can take out your shopping list. I don't know. Tell God, I need your grace in this area of my life. And this is where you begin to talk to Him. Moses asked, God, would you teach me your ways so that I can find favor with you? That's a great prayer. Remember, Lord, these people, they are not my people. They are your people. All their problems, all their complaints, all their murmuring, God, they are not my people. So Moses was actually pouring out his heart and his frustration to God. Says, God, they are your people. Teach me your ways. You can talk to God after you draw near to Him, you hear His heart, you worship Him, and you talk and pray to Him. And lastly, you receive, you be assured, and you be encouraged. Because the Spirit of God is in us, and He wants to work through us. The Spirit of God is not just everywhere, but it is here. And you'll be assured and you'll be encouraged, knowing that His presence will go with me and I can have rest. That when I may be going through the biggest storm in my life, the bigger pressure in my life, the bigger conflicts, the bigger disappointment, the greatest loss in my life. But with God's presence, I can have rest. When you do this, when you practice it as a lifestyle, guess what? God's presence upon you. It is not just a switch that you turn on and off. But because, just like Joshua, you have been practicing it, when the time you truly need it, you truly understand it.